magic, though.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
How are we going to start this madness?
What do you mean? It's already started.
Oh, no, really? What episode is this? Where am I? Are we doing introductions? Who is this guy that you kidnapped from another podcast?
I don't know. It's your show. You tell me. This is episode 130.
130, and this is, of course, the infamous Softcore Jeff from VCR. And that's all I got. You know, you get what I talk
about. Aw, come on. You have you do snazzy intros on VCR.
Oh, that's because I have like time to like think about it.
See, that's the problem, bro. That's the problem. Sean has trained you guys to be
not
too
training,
structured.
It's slavery. I told you, there's whips involved. 15 minutes of bug.
Yeah.
Get out of line. Get out of line. You're all done. He flies all the way from L.A. to my house, kicks my ass. Better next week. He's an intimidating guy in real life. I've never met him. He's all the way over there. I'm all the way over here. But we love Sean. We love Chris. It's the horrifying freedom of a free-form podcast. You don't know what to do. I want to talk about this comic book, this digital-only video game-related comic book, because I know Martin wants to crap all over it.
Oh, man, do I.
Well, so you're going to have to fill me in because I have no idea.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, good. So that'll give me a purpose. That'll give me a little bit of structure to talking about this.
Yeah, I'll fill in. And, you know, like the initial announcement pissed me off a little bit more than the aftermath, I guess you would say, as per usual. I wasn't on last episode, which is good because Nick and I on the Nerd Legion podcast – what was it, episode 99? I guess, yeah, 99. I kind of crapped all over this this Valiant app that came out. I don't want to talk about it today. We're not gonna do that. Nick heard enough.
Is your dog getting attacked by a chicken?
I have it. I don't know what it does, but I have it. I'm like, oh, cool. I'll do that.
Nick, yeah, we've already talked about it for about 55 minutes.
No. On record, we talked about it. I think it was about 30, 40 minutes. But I also cut out about 45 other minutes after the outro where I completely obliterated this app. Anyways, that's never going to see the light of day, so it doesn't matter. We're not going to talk about the app. Congratulations, Valiant, on your app. That's amazing. I'm not going to use it because there's no Android app, dude. Come on. Seriously?
Oh.
Listen, I know all you money bags have iPhones and all that. Okay.
No, I only have an iPhone. I don't even know why. Really? I don't know. I got one for free with AT&T, and you can still kind of do that without getting into it. Listen, if you have a cell phone and you have a cell phone plan, don't get into the thing where they finance you the phone.
Mm-mm.
It's garbage. You gotta work it a little bit now, but I still, just this last time for my iPhone 5, yes, I'm rocking a friggin' iPhone 5, so money bag's nothing, bro. This is obsolete technology right now. I'm just glad I can play Game Boy games on it, to be honest.
Hey, you know what? Chris is a flip phone, so, you know, iPhone 5, that's like future tech.
It does everything that I needed to for the most part, but it's, you know, I got it for free with the 2-year contract and whatever, and that's it. I don't need to be on the cutting edge of stuff.
Sure.
Not really.
Sure.
You know. What are we talking about? iPhones. So, yeah. Hellblade. That's
Hellblade.
A new game coming out.
Yep.
From Ninja Theory. And
yes.
I got them confused with Team Ninja initially, and I was like, "Oh, cool. These are the guys that did the really awesome solid Ninja Gaiden reboot games." And then I Googled him, and I'm like, no, wait a second, this is a different thing.
That's funny, because I was the other way around. When I first read the announcement, I was like, who the hell is this studio? And then after I calmed down the next day, I was like, oh, Team Ninja, that's going to be awesome. And then I'm like, oh, wait, no, it's not Team Ninja. But, yeah, it looks good. Actually, you know what? Nick and I, before you got on, were talking about this game sale on GOG.com, the Super Summer Sale. And it's actually one of the featured pre-orders on the main page. Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice is what the game is called.
Yes. And it
looks good.
Yeah, it looks really good. This is I've run the full gauntlet of emotions today, because now I'm really actually excited, and I want to get this game. And Valiant's doing a one-off comic book for it that's unfortunately only available if you pre-order it on either Steam or GOG, like you said.
Yep.
I have every single video game console that is in existence that's not like super obscure, and I don't have a really good PC. And this is coming out on PS4, but you can't get the comic on PS4.
Nope.
It's
comic,
not pre-ordered.
Comics is exclusive only to Steam.
Steam
Martin,
and GOG.
Yeah.
GOG just
gives you a Steam key. So you go to Steam and redeem the key.
You know me with the clickety-clack games.
Yes, I do. And you know me in PC Master Race.
I am not part of the Master Race. No thank you, good sir.
Mm. See, now you're going
to... What is this digital comic book, then?
Now you're going to miss out on a digital comic book because you're not part of the PC Master Race.
Can I buy the game and then send the code to the Valiant offices and say thanks but no thanks but thanks for the digital comic?
I mean, no. It's Steam exclusive. I mean, you can ask. I'm not going to ask for you. I'm still a little upset.
No, I would like to send them the key. Like, I don't want this. I want your damn comic.
Oh, like, here's your key. Print me a comic. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I did definitely send Dinesh a PM on Facebook.
Oh,
about
I sent him a PM
ago,
too.
Like, hey, no love for PS4, bro. Like, what's up with this? And then I asked him if he could give me any little nuggets for VCP, so that you guys would have a reason to, you know, have me back on at some point. and I've yet to get a response. You know, I talked about this last time I was on with Paul. That I hate not being able to get something.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, this is not a Valiant comic, though.
I mean, it's not in the Valiant universe, but it's
still
put out by Valiant. And I now that I see this, and now that I see who these guys are, like, they've put out some legit games.
Yeah,
tell
they
me
did.
What
they
put out, because I recognize the name.
Devil May Cry.
So the reboot, which
was a game.
But it was a trash interpretation of the original.
Oh, sure.
I love that game. That game is great.
Gameplay-wise, it was phenomenal. It just,
It had style for days.
I just don't, you know, I don't know. I was fond of the originals, and they kind of, you know, I don't know, wanted to kind of crap all over that legacy. And I don't know, do the whole, like, mind control soda thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that so many times now that the only time it was good when it was clearly a parody in Sunset Overdrive. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that game.
Yep.
And that whole game was just a whole giant parody of so many things, and I love it. It's great. But that, you know, you get the mind control and the soda bit. Like, get out of here with that. They just did that friggin' Gen Zero, for Christ's sakes. Why not? They can go make a Gen Zero DMC crossover comic and print it so I can actually buy it.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And Enslaved Odyssey to the West, which didn't do as good as they thought.
I loved that.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
It looks good.
Loved it.
Heavenly Sword.
Heavenly
which,
Sword. Yeah, that was okay.
Was I don't know. I think everybody thought that was going to be Girl God of War, which I guess it kind of was. I never finished it, but
yeah, yeah.
It was solid. It was one of the first launch games, so you can't expect much.
Look, and here's the thing. Like, as far as the video game's concerned, I think it looks really, really good.
That's cool.
It looks really good. I put the link in the chat, Nick, if you didn't see it yet.
No, I didn't.
But you can just go to GOG.com and scroll down, like, halfway down. You'll see a banner that goes across the page for Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. It's $30, PC only, which is fine. This is like a small publisher.
Well, you can get it on PS4. You just can't get the friggin' comic book.
Well, yeah, there's that.
You know what you get? You know what you get if you pre-order it on PS4 is a theme.
A theme?
There you go.
You get a custom theme.
Is there a Valiant V on the theme?
No, and I have the friggin' Valiant themes. I bought the Rye one because it looks awesome on my gigantic television.
Yeah.
No game for PS4. There's no Valiant video games, really, period. And you guys want to get into that conversation, I man, ideas for days. But yeah, I bought it and I just, oh man, it's such a drag. I want to get to the comic. How cool is this comic?
Who wrote it and drew it?
Oh yeah. Do they say? I think the creative director wrote it. Tami Mantonidis, which, by the way, that's an awesome name. But the artist, Temple Smith.
Wow.
Your boy.
My boy.
Mr. Fancy Suit himself.
Absolutely.
But, so I don't know, like, my only thing is I don't know what the Valiant Collection is. I mean, I'll happily talk about this game. The game looks awesome. I'm probably going to get it. It's $30. DRM free. You don't need, like, online connection to play it. Like, I like that kind of stuff, you know? And it's coming out the first week of August. But the thing is, like, the announcement that I saw was from Valiant, and I read it, and I was like, what does this have to do with Valiant? Because the only thing, like, the only connection to Valiant is there's a Valiant V on the front cover. But it's a digital comic, so, I mean, they're not putting the comic out. Because it's not available, like, on Comixology, for example.
Maybe they're following in the footsteps of Acclaim.
All right, so that was the other thing. So my initial comment when I posted this on the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/ValiantCentral, was that to me, this feels kind of like jumping the shark. Okay, because I've been touting the fact that over the last, I don't know, two, three months, that things are really coming together, where we're getting back to basics, they're really focusing on the comics, they're bringing back the stuff that, you know, fans love, both old and new, right? They're striking a balance. And now, like, this. So, it seems weird to me. Like, are you attracting Valiant fans to this comic, or there's a V on the front?
Maybe you're attracting video game fans that might check out some of your other comics. It has the same tone, you
just
know,
because there's a V on,
like,
the front?
Some other.
But just because, well, there's a V on the front?
So, hey, some people are a little crazed that if they fall in love with a game, they might check out the soundtrack, they might buy a t-shirt, or they might be like, oh, well, they did this. You know, just like Dead Space. Dead Space came out with a comic book.
Yeah.
And people that love the video game, they might check that out, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, Ben Temple Smith drew that.
Sure.
Well, it could be the same exact thing for this. Ben Temple Smith drew that. I wonder if he did other stuff from this Valiant.
Well, and, you know, and so Justin from Collective Valiant posted quite a few comments in the thread about why this doesn't make sense. Granted, his point of view is a little bit different because he's a hardcore collector, right? So he wants physical copies of the books. And this is not a physical comic. It's a digital-only comic that you can only get if you pre-order, and that's it.
Stop saying that.
Well, that's what it is. What do you mean?
It's making me sad every time I hear it.
That's part of my point.
But, like, don't you think, like, it's a little crazy that why not put it on a piece of cardboard that Best Buy or Amazon or GameStop would sell?
Well,
like, it still has the digital code, but there's also a digital code for the comic book, and then the collectors like Justin would just be like, well, I have the digital code, here's my code that I'm going to read on a device, and here's my code that I'm going to seal up and, you know, hold on to, and now I have my collected physical bit.
Right.
They've done that with other PC games.
Sure.
I'm surprised they wouldn't do it here.
That's what I don't understand, what the partnership is.
Yeah.
What is the partnership?
Probably just a little piece of cross promotion. Just a little, like, hey, you know, because here we are. Now, I got an email about a thing, and I get a million emails, not a million, but we get a bunch of emails from Hunter. Here's what they're doing. Sometimes I look at them, I'm like, yeah, that's great. I've never been to a comic book convention. Sue me, guys. Never been to a comic book convention. There's not any that Valiant's coming to near me, so whatever. So I see that today, I'm like, all right, yeah, whoopity-doo. Then I see this, I'm like, huh, all right, this is kind of interesting. And now here we are talking about this game, and now I'm on the precipice of shelling out $30.
But
that's on PS4 to play because it looks good.
That's my point exactly, though. That's my point exactly.
Heard about it.
That's my point exactly, though. I don't have any issue with the game, And I mean, I probably would have seen it because Nick and I talk about games, and he, like I said, he already mentioned the GOG sale, not even knowing about this thing.
No, no clue.
And I saw this on the front page. So I would have seen this regardless. But again, I game, right?
I never would have seen it. Never.
Well, if you hadn't seen it on GOG. Group. Yeah.
Well, I don't go to GOG. So I would have never ever seen
it. Well, but
that.
They had a sale, and you found out about the sale, and you went, you know, that's what I mean.
That's because I follow GameStop.
Ah, okay, that makes sense.
So. Ninja Theory is basically putting this out themselves. It's very much an indie game, and they're touting it as an indie game, and they're saying that it's, you know, maybe half the size of a AAA title for half the price, which, you know, still makes it, if we reduce our fractions, you know, me not paying full price for a brand new game, although this one I think I will, that I wouldn't have otherwise heard about. And I think if people are, you know, if you go on Ninja Theory's website right now, they're all but, I don't know if they have a Kickstarter, but they sound like they might be right there. Mm-hmm. They don't have a major company backing them. There's no Capcom involved with this time. There's no Disney involved with it this time. It's just them. If all Valiant has to do is slap their logo on it to get it into the hands of all the people that are going to pre-order this game, not because it's not a physical comic, to get it, you know, in the eyes and hearts and minds of everybody that's buying this game, and vice versa, everybody that's, you know, reading Valiant and checking out all the news and listening to this podcast is going to be looking at this game now. It's just a brilliant piece of cross promotion.
For the game developer, I don't see what the advantage is for Valiant. So Nick, you were talking about, you know, having the V on the cover, like that'll introduce people to Valiant. I don't think so at all. I think the people are going to get this that really want to know what this property is about, that read the comic and thoroughly enjoy it, they're not going to be like, oh, like Valiant puts it out. They're going to be like, oh, this game's awesome. I'm going to play the shit out of this game. You see what I mean?
I still think, well, I'm going to go down two roads. If the game's good enough, which when I played Dead Space, that was good enough. And guess what? I went and read the digital comic book.
I love Dead Space.
And then I bought physical comic books.
Yeah.
And I could easily see it going that way. And then all of a sudden they're like, and so many people go onto wiki pages and like, well, let me see what else Valiant's doing. I'll read like a summary of what they're putting out. Mm-hmm. And maybe something might catch their imagination. Or could Valiant be doing this because they want to either get the writer or Ben Templesmith under their umbrella to be able to do another series or some more covers?
Well, I mean, Templesmith's done Valiant covers for a long time.
Yes, so I know.
They already have a relationship.
But this might be a bone that is like Templesmith wanted to do this, so he went to Valiant to be able to subsidize him getting paid to do this.
All right, so
you don't know how.
So that's possible. Yes, that is possible. However, here's what I would have liked.
But doesn't it sound almost like they should have done a Patreon? Like, I think Jeff's going somewhere with that.
Yeah, Patreon, a Kickstarter, something. I think that would have worked out better.
Because then everybody who wanted a digital copy of just the comic book, they could have supported it ahead of time for $10-$20 and got a digital code.
And not even that. I guarantee you, okay? Remember the Harbinger Renegade coupons? You buy, mm-hmm. you get the four coupons, you send $10, you get a comic in a year. I guarantee you, if they had done, you buy this, pre-order this game for $29.99, and you get a code. And when the game comes out, you get your code, you mail the code in or whatever the hell, you email it to somebody. Like, dude, it's freaking 2017. Like, there's technology. You know what I mean? Like, type it in somewhere, and then it pops up a form where you pay $10, and they'll send you a print version of the comic. I guarantee you, a bunch of Valiant fans would do it just because there's a V on the front. I mean,
if people are looking at this from a completely different route, because the game company probably does more business than Valiant does.
I mean, they might. So that's my point, though. What is the gain for Valiant? Because for this gaming company, this is awesome. Like I'm going to spend $30 on this game. The game looks great. Mm-hmm.
Jeff's going to get a PC.
I don't care about the comic.
No, I'm just going to get it on PS4, and I'm gonna read. You're gonna email me your friggin' Kindle.
Well, and so
I can borrow the book.
That's the other thing, right? So everything's DRM free. So I'm sure one person's going to buy this game, and then all the people at Valiant Comic fans are going to have a copy of it. You know what I mean?
Of course.
You know what I'm
talking
about, all right?
Yeah.
I can't say that.
Dude, I guarantee you.
Absolutely.
I guarantee. I've already seen comments about it.
And I guarantee you the way Jeff's doing it, that is 3 or 4% of the people that will have this digital comic book.
Yep. Now, I did
illegally.
Also, I did all, yeah, oh, for sure.
Illegally.
By far more
like,
people
like I
have...
don't see a lot of people like buying it on PS4 and then like, "Hey, I bought the game. Just because it isn't available on PS4, now I'm going to track down the digital code for it and the digital file. And, you know, hey, now I should be able to read it. I did buy this damn game."
Well, I mean, the comic is DRM free, though, so technically it's not illegal to share it. You see what I mean?
Sure.
But like I said, I've already seen comments about it. And I know somebody asked if they were going to be sending out preview copies of the comic for reviewers. They're mm-hmm. not doing that. So that further... brings up my point. What is the involvement here? Just to have the Valiant V on it? However, here's what I would have liked to see. This is a promotion I would have appreciated. Okay? They're doing this comic? Fine, whatever. Don't care. As the story starts, there's like a Valiant splash screen or whatever as part of the origin story. That could have been cool. There's like a secret unlock. You pre-order the game, you can unlock Ninjak. To play as Ninjak in this Hellblade game.
All right, there you go.
Okay.
There you go. Because they are all about the ninja stuff. That's the name of the company, right? They like that all their games, you know, everybody fights like ninjas and stuff. Maybe that's it. Maybe what we're seeing, maybe this is the little seed for a Ninjak game, right? Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe.
See?
I don't know. I don't know why they determined that Ninjak was, like, the most marketable property. I don't. But, hey, you know what? They're doing it, and screw it, man. I can't wait to watch that show. And I'm glad that everybody else is in it because Ninjak's not my favorite. He's not my least favorite, but he's not my favorite. This maybe is the beginning stages of that partnership.
And I would be
down
with
that. For them to put out a Ninjak.
If this is the team that's going to be putting out a Valiant game, totally cool. I don't even need that in a presser, okay? But what I'm saying is, what should have been in the presser is, pre-order this game, you get a Ninjak skin pack, okay? So when the game comes out, you don't want to play as Senua or whoever the main character is. You can pick Ninjak, and I guarantee you, Valiant fans, without a question, they wouldn't even look at screenshots of the game, okay? They don't even own a PC. They own a Mac. They still buy the game just because there's a Valiant character in it. I guarantee
you.
You'd
sell a lot more.
That's a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Missed opportunity. So we'll see.
Perhaps. But I think long game, and I think we've kind of organically arrived at the point that I was hoping that we'd get to in this podcast anyways, which is, what do we want to see out of a Valiant game? But they've probably just sold that many more. I'm gonna buy it. Martin, you?
Yeah, I'm gonna buy it.
All right, Nick.
No, I'm not gonna buy it.
Okay, all right. So they got 2 out of 3 with you know, just by slapping their V logo on it. Mission accomplished. So now, look at this exposure that we just got, you guys. Let's talk. You know, let's talk Ninjak game.
I will say, I've purchased very few video game. Comics. I know our buddy Mike was talking about it. There's plenty of them. That's fine. Actually, you know what? Mike's getting all those Atari comics, Nick.
Nice.
They've got a Centipede and something else, I think. How they made them into a comic, I don't know, but that's how.
what kind of story could you possibly...
Hey, I don't know. They're putting it out. But Aaron was mentioning Injustice because he knows I read Injustice. Mm-hmm. And my comment to that is that Injustice is completely different because the Injustice comic has something to do with the story in the game, first of all. Second of all, it's the characters that are in the game that also happens to be an Elseworlds story of characters that I really love. Okay? So that was my only thing. If this Hellblade thing, this Hellblade comic somehow had Balin characters in it, totally get it. My thing was that there wasn't. And so comparing it to Injustice is not even close. Mm. Which, by the way, Injustice is freaking amazing. Both the game, yeah, the game and the comic.
I miss Elseworld, but we've been preaching that for a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only Elseworld closeness that we even get.
You know, Jack and I were talking about that last night because we recorded... Ronnie's too busy to record podcasts anymore. So I got on with Jack on the Marvel podcast and we talked Marvel comics. And he doesn't like Secret Empire, but I really dug it. And the reason is it's an Elseworlds story. And so you can kind of put aside all the crappiness of any character because it's like a 180 take on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you saw that picture I sent you on Twitter with the Hydra Punisher.
Heck yeah.
That was pretty sweet, dude.
Absolutely.
That was pretty sweet. Jeff, I know, if you read anything but Valiant, Chris will kill you, but Secret Empire is pretty fun, man. I'm telling you.
Secret Empire. No, I've got I got some other stuff queued up.
Did you? Okay.
I do occasionally dabble in comic adaptations of video games. Actually, I'm looking across the room. I have it was a comic adaptation of God of War, which wasn't very good. that I paid money for. They're not always great. I would say if Injustice is working for you, that's good. It's just kind of one-off licensed, you know, whatever things.
Yeah,
usually,
I get you.
At least in my experience, are kind of meh.
Hey, you Jeff, know. I know you love the video games. Do you do digital comics?
Well, all right. So, as I talked with Paul, I do have a subscription to Marvel Unlimited. If I really, really have to own something and pay for it, it doesn't happen all that often.
Because I'm gonna, recommend something that's on Comixology. It's on sale right now on the Dynamite sale, and it's The Art of Atari.
Oh yeah, that's
so
good.
So it's actually like a written book, but it's a graphically written, like there's beautiful photography of all of the old Atari cartridges, which are real trippy. They are crazy looking. And the book, if you buy it on the sale right now, it's like $5. It's so cheap, but really, really like beautiful covers.
That's something I would almost want to own a physical copy of. I'm still buying a ton of Valiant stuff. I still got one of every issue that comes out. I got all the trades, all the hardcovers, all that stuff. I don't usually buy other comic books. If I want to read something, I try to keep it to digital. I have paid for other comics, Sandman stuff. I bought that. That is something that I would be interested in, but I would almost rather have a physical copy of that. I have a closet full of strategy guides.
I miss
video
those days.
Game related books. That, well, you know what it all started with me, dude, was back when I was a kid, I used to dust off the old NES instruction manuals every once in a while and just read the little stories at the beginning, and I was like, God damn it, I wish there was more to this.
Yep.
And of course, back then, not a lot of games had a whole lot of story in them, and I'd write little stories of my own with, you know, all the Nintendo guys hanging out and doing stuff and whatever, probably before Valiant was doing Captain N. that sounds awesome, dude. Man, I miss my Atari. It was a casualty of a move, and I'll never forgive my mother for throwing it out, because we had all of them. You know what's really great about those too, not to just completely ramble, but there's a whole world that exists between 70s science fiction novels and Atari video games. The cover art. That style that just like, man, and it just, you don't see it that often anymore, and it puts so much more depth into those games than was actually ever there. Like, if you look at, I don't know, just take Missile Command, look at the label the cover for Missile Command. Looks like there's some serious stuff going on in there. Like, you know, a couple lines and that's, you know, whatever.
But that's what's in that Art of Atari. Like, you look at some of the, like, beautiful images, and it's like, they look like they're from, like, Star Wars or Battlestar Galactica, Space 1999. Like, just those retro, like, late 70s painted, like, movie posters. Oh, so beautiful.
So good. So,
head to the Amazons and pick that book up. You won't regret it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that looks awesome. Yeah, there it is, Missile Command, right on the front.
There you go.
No kidding. Dynamite.
I love the instruction booklets that, and Nintendo was really good with this, that gave you like the last couple pages that were blank so you could write notes. I miss that because it was always like, I gotta retrace my steps. How many doors did I go through? How many turns did I make? Because this little boy can't remember any of that
stuff. Dude, that's why when Jeff was talking about strategy guys, it brought back so many memories, man. Because back then you needed them, you know? There was no internet. Like, that was your internet. Go buy a strategy guide.
Yep.
God, it was so good.
Then you just sat there and, like, read one page, moved your character like to the screen, and then read the next page.
Oh my god.
Good times.
Good times indeed.
They're phasing out. This is a weird thing too. They're phasing out instruction manuals, and it drives me nuts, man. The first game that I bought that didn't come with an instruction manual was Halo 4. And I overpaid like crazy for whatever ridiculous super duper collector's edition that they came out with that was going to be so much more limited than the Halo Reach one, and you weren't going to be able to get it after the fact for a fraction of the price, and of course that's exactly the way that it went.
Yeah.
And I open up the case, and there's no instruction manual in there, and I'm like, you know, meanwhile, we came in this giant crate with like a statue and like all this other stuff, and there's all this really, really cool stuff, and I'm like, where's the goddamn instruction manual?
Yeah.
They're phasing it out. All the games have tutorials in them. Not that they haven't been doing that for 10, 15 years anyways.
Yeah.
And they're cutting down on paper.
Yep.
And I've seen, I bought a DS game not that long ago that had a slimmed down instruction manual on it, and come to find out, there were two different versions of that manual that were put out. One of them is, you know, 2-3 pages. There might be a blank page at the end for notes. And it says, go to such and such website and read the full instruction manual. Or you can get the full instruction manual, another copy of the game. And as far as I know, I don't know any way to tell the difference on that. So I've bought instruction manuals to put with these games that had the crappy ones. And it just,
No kidding.
Yeah, the last couple games I've actually purchased has... All you get a couple card stocks of whatever the publisher is. Here's their next game.
Yeah.
And you're lucky if you get one card that says go to for a tutorial or instruction manual, go to such and such website, and you're lucky to get that on cardstock. Now they've been printing them for consoles on the back of the cover. So when you open up the clear case, you see it through the cover. Through the case. It's a cost savings measure. So
It is. I get it, but it's still, I don't know. It's something I lament. The absence and downfall of instruction manuals is something that I lament greatly. Yeah, this Atari book looks nice. And Dynamite's getting the money for that. That's ouch.
Yeah, well, Dynamite's smart, dude. Say what you will about Dynamite. Dynamite's smart.
Yep.
Dynamite's very smart. And that's Sovereign's book was actually pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, it actually is.
Okay.
Yep. So I know. Send your hate mail to @WhosPaul on Twitter. He'll happily talk to your haters.
Why?
Well, you know, Valiant fans and Dynamite fans don't get along because of the thing. But yeah, that book was good, dude. It was really, really good. I was very surprised. Very, very surprised.
Now that's their sort of culmination of all the Gold Key properties that they put out.
Well, yes. So they're doing, I think it's a mini, and then they're going to be releasing the solo books, like, slowly over time. I think Turok might be the first one to come out. And I remember I saw the creative team for it, and actually I was pretty surprised by it. So I don't know who it was, but I remember it being I remember it being good. I was like, really? They're doing that? Huh, that's cool. I'm going to get that. Again, send your hate mail to @WhosPaul on Twitter, because I don't read that shit. You want to hate on something? Go away.
Yeah. Amen. Unless we're hating on something, then it's okay.
Oh, I hate on all kinds of shit.
I mean, we have the platform, you know? You want to hate on something, get a platform for your hate.
Here's the thing, too. Like, Paul used to get angry because Paul always plays the bad guy on the podcast. And half the time, he doesn't even believe the shit he says. He just talks. You know?
Yeah, that's his character.
Yeah, it's part of the show. You know what I mean? But people that listen, like, they take that seriously. So, you know, Paul is the center of many a joke because of that. Because people more often than not believe the persona over real Paul. Paul's a real boy, guys. Oh, episode title. Mm-hmm. Episode title. Yeah, Paul is a real boy. Paul was busy tonight, by the way. I think he just texted me. He's on the way home. But
that's a long day.
Yeah.
Is that bell? Is that a real bell?
Yeah, bro. It's my concierge bell.
Sound
see?
Effect? You have one of those things? Oh, you son of a gun! That gives me a little joke. We have one of those at work, and I'm very very happy to be where I'm at professionally. I'm making big boy money. All right. And that's just the last little remnant of, like, high school job BS that I need to show you. The fact that those belts on our counter.
I bought it for the Nerd Legion podcast because we made a joke about it one episode. And so I went on Amazon and bought it because it was like $2.99.
Of course it was. Amazon's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we gotta track when and where we put our sponsors.
Of course.
So the bell's the audio cue for Martin to clip that part out and send it to the sponsor of it. It all makes sense.
Oh, man. See, that's why Valiant is never going to sponsor this podcast. It's funny, too. For a long time, like, I used to get emails, like, requesting stuff from Valiant. And I'm like, dude, like, we just do the podcast. Like, they don't sponsor us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we don't get paid for this shit. Like, if you want to send me $5, like, I'll do you a favor. But,
Valiant gets the milk for free, so why pay for it?
Get that milk. Man, that'd be a good episode title, too. We're going to stick with Paul as a real boy. Poor guy.
I like that. A fancy lad.
He is a fancy lad. Mm-hmm. He is a fancy lad. Jeff, I know you don't usually read the emails. Did you see all the new Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe covers that came out today?
Yeah, that looks pretty awesome. I just hope that they start spitting out some video. I actually I clicked on something on Facebook and I was like, oh, cool, there's going to be a new preview. Because, of course, I only read what I want to read when it comes to these things. Yeah. Yep. And it said, you know, no CGI, no teaser, see Exo Manowar in the flesh or whatever. And I was like, cool, we're going to get a video of, you know, Eric being Eric. And then it's like, no, look at these images.
Mm-hmm.
Images.
Nick, did you see them? Well, you don't even buy comics. You hate comics.
Wow.
No, I'm just
shots
kidding.
Fired.
Hey, by the way, no, Nick is buying the Exo Manowar because I sold them on the bundle.
And
Secret Weapons, yeah.
Yep.
See, so as much shit as I talk about you, Valiant, I still promote your shit because I believe in you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I went right onto social and praised the episode.
Yep.
Because I never thought I was going to go back into my comic book store. But something like that draws me in until Valiant, all of a sudden, all those extras that I got for pre-ordering, all of a sudden they're available in the trade. Then I'll be off those pre-orders again.
We'll see how it goes, Nick.
I guarantee you that's what's going to happen.
I bought a Kindle, Nick.
Oh, look at you.
Hold on. Why would you do that?
Well, because I buy all my books from the Kindle store because They cost like next to nothing. And I do Audible because, you know, it doesn't cost much and I work a lot and it's easier to listen than to read sometimes. But anyway, so I got a Kindle and I buy all my shit on Amazon. And Amazon Prime is free when you have it. So for it was like $50. It was on sale.
Nice.
So, I mean, a tablet for $50, whatever.
Hell yeah.
And I put Comixology on it.
Hold on, Martin, will you? Alexa, congratulate Martin.
Alexa. Oh, I have mine on mute.
She's ignoring me.
Yeah, mine's on mute.
She's ignoring me.
Mine's on mute.
Mm. She gets uppity sometimes.
Anyways, we'll see. I might be doing some more jiggle. You can't ask Siri questions. Yeah, see? Siri doesn't understand.
No, she just found me web results. No, dude, listen, I have a Kindle too, and it's awesome, but now that I'm realizing all the stuff that I want to do on an Android platform is just that much harder with the Kindle because you don't have access to the same app channels.
Oh, like, contraire, my friend.
Funky side-loading stuff that I don't really want to do. I'm like, crap. So now I'm looking at having another tablet.
See, I don't care about that.
You're talking to the wrong guy. Martin will find a way to do anything that he needs done on
that. Dude, I can do anything.
So.
I don't even run Windows in my house. There's no Windows in my house.
Like, so tell him what search engine
physical
you
Windows
use, Martin.
In
I don't even use Google. I use DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo.com. That's right.
And now I use DuckDuckGo, too.
Google that. DuckDuckGo.com.
You ever use Yandex?
No. I don't support Mother Russia. I can't do that. my name's not Donald Trump. I can't do that. I'm an American.
Oh, you should try this. It's Yandex, and I'm pretty sure it runs on the same DuckDuckGo. Just a search engine that doesn't track you. I know it's not the only one that doesn't track you, but let's see. Porn. Here we go. I have to turn safe search off.
Yes, to turn that off. Because it's always on strict. I'm going to tell you, if you look for Centaur porn on that, good luck.
Oh, wow. There's a lot of porn.
But you don't get porn previews on DuckDuckGo. You know what I mean? Like, on Google, you get porn previews. So if you're after porn, like, stick with Google. If you want actual information, DuckDuckGo.com. This episode of Alan's Edge Podcast sponsored by DuckDuckGo.
Porn!
Go to DuckDuckGo.com/Valiant Central for more information.
I'm going to try that right now. Is that a real thing?
I don't know. Try it and see what happens.
DuckDuckGo/...
I'm going to shit a brick if it actually works.
Right? Oh, wait a second. Hold on. I just erased the whole URL for some reason.
Shame on you.
Oh, what's going on?
Yep, it sure does. It works. It gives you search results for Valiant Central. See? DuckDuckGo.com/Valiant Central for all your Valiant Central needs.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, wow. I forgot there was a WordPress website back in the day. That's still going? Wow. WordPress is terrible.
Okay. Podcast episode 21. Wow.
Wow.
Look at this.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago. Crazy.
Oh, Divinity number one, fourth print. Still reporting on the multiple printings back then, huh?
Oh, well, you know, Valiant Central used to be a website, Jeff.
Yeah.
Before
that
it was a podcast.
Good website.
It was a great website.
I went from my introduction to Valiant Podcast went from Valiant Effort.
Yes. Rest in peace.
Absolutely. To, I would say VCP and then Valiant Central. That all happened real close to one another.
Hold on, aren't those the same thing?
Sorry. I went on to your podcast. I went on to both of your podcasts.
Okay, all right, VCR. Okay.
VCR. Sorry.
No, that's fine. Nobody...
And then I went over to Daryl and Mike.
Just remember, R comes after P in the dictionary.
Oh.
But I got in through the trade, because guess what? That's what I was reading at the time.
Yeah, I still remember that, too, because I think you sent me a message on Twitter, and I was like, who's this Nick guy?
And then you're like, is that the guy who records with Josh? Why wouldn't Josh just reach out to me?
No, I knew it was a different Nick.
Ah, okay.
Yep.
But that's why I thought it worked for me, because I'm like, I'm a new reader. He's a new reader to the universe. This all makes sense.
Yep. Valiant effort. Josh is too busy nowadays.
Well, just get Nick back on.
You know, I told him, I said, look, Josh, we can get Casper Mattresses to sponsor this
podcast. Yeah.
And then you don't need to run your mattress store. He didn't believe me, though.
I heard that they're going to be sponsoring Nerdy Legion coming up soon.
Oh, Casper Mattresses?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I'll quit talking about them then.
Yeah, please.
I'll quit talking about
them. No cross-promotion.
Yeah, they're not paying us for this. Probably. We can't do that.
Yeah, it's an exclusive relationship that we've built.
Man, people that have never listened to Nerd Legion podcast, Nick, they're going to be like, what is happening with the show right now?
It is so derailed right now, and these guys aren't even drunk.
Well, speak for yourself.
Yeah.
I'm not drunk, but
the wine came out.
I did drink 2 glasses of wine since we've been recording, so. I feel pretty good. You don't like wine? Jeff, come on, bro.
I didn't say that. I just said, ooh, fancy.
Oh, okay. You're a whiskey guy.
I am, but you know when I really like to drink wine is watching Game of Thrones. Because everybody in that show is drinking wine like all the time. So it's one thing to watch it and get absorbed into the show and the characters and the plot threads and all the stuff that's going on, whatever. It's a completely other experience to have that on top of like all these people are drinking wine and I'm drinking wine too. it's like I'm in the show. You know, anybody's doing it. It's not just the good guys, it's not just the bad guys, it's not just the guys or the girls. Everybody's drinking wine on that show, and it's so easy to put down like a bottle and a half sitting by yourself, hating your life, watching Game of Thrones, drinking wine. It's great. It's great. No, wine's great, dude. I don't mess with white wine, but yeah, man, I'll drink me some red wine. And it's great because I don't get that far into it that I feel the need to spend any kind of money on it. You can buy a $10 bottle of wine, no problem. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Oh, whatever. Dude, not even that. So here's the thing. So when I go shopping for wine, like, I'll buy a bottle. Like, I'm okay spending, you know, $15-$20 on a bottle. Not my wife. My wife always buys boxes.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Well, because, you know, we both work long hours. And so come the weekend, like, she works 5 days a week, I work 6 days a week. Come the weekends, like, we want to relax, unwind, and have some wine. And of course, like, if I want to drink all weekend on wine, because, you know, it also happens that I podcast on weekends, so I want to be, you know, having a good time with a little bit of vino. It's just cheaper to do it that way, you know? So she'll get a box for each of us, and that'll usually last the whole weekend. I think there's like 3 bottles in a box. Now, granted, it's not the best wine. But you know what? Like, once you've had, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 glasses, it really doesn't matter. It all tastes the same.
Yeah, that's just it. That's why I start with, like, the really good whiskey, and then I'm down to, you know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And I got to tell you, dude, I'm a little bit envious of that level of economy or efficiency that your old lady's rocking there with the box of wine.
She's very good. She's my accountant.
I like that. I need that. I need a woman like that.
You do.
Yeah, give him the skinny girl story.
No, we're not talking about skinny girl.
Come on.
No.
It's such a good story.
No. You can tell the story.
Encapsulate your wife. What?
No, we're not talking about this.
Okay, fine.
Nick, get with the program.
Sorry.
This is a Valiant podcast.
Program. Valiant Central Podcast.
Never heard of it.
Episode 130. Paul is a real boy. Paul's not even here, and he still gets title credits.
Absolutely.
Son of a gun.
This, no,
so
it's not.
Do we want to play the game and talk about potential Valiant video games, or no?
Oh, I'd be down for that.
All right. So here's what I really want, if we're going to bring this thing back on track a little bit. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this right, but I would really love to see a Valiant Musou game. You guys familiar with Musou games, if I'm saying that right?
Musou? No.
Moose, are you familiar with Dynasty Warriors?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right. So you have one, like, super-powered guy that you play as, playable character, and you just mow down dozens and hundreds of completely underpowered, hapless jackasses.
Hmm.
And then, like, they'll throw you, like, a boss fight every once in a while. And one of my favorite games in this genre was an adaptation of the Fist of the North Star manga, where
what?
In between every level...
I didn't know there was such a thing.
What's that?
I knew the manga and the anime, but I've never played the game.
I'm so glad somebody else knows that Fist of the North Star is a thing.
Oh, dude, Fist of the North Star was the jam back in the days.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes. I am home. yeah, they did one, the first one, and that had like a full English dub release. And then they did a second one, which it was weird. The first one had a surprisingly deep combat system for the type of game it was. And, you know, of course you could play as you know, all the super-powered martial arts guys and whatever. And then the second one was a little bit dumbed down, but you could play as more guys. And so I think they kind of took the depth of combat and just spread it across the sheer amount of characters you could play as. But it was only... it was Japanese voice only, and there was a weird thing with Sony of America, if I understood this correctly, that they would only allow a game to be released on physical media if there was an American audio an English audio track. So I ended up downloading the second one. What was really awesome about the second one is that all the scenes, there were some like really beautiful animated CGI cutscenes, but a lot of the stuff took place between the levels in a form of motion comic, really, that used the game assets, so they looked really good. Just think, a couple of steps above the motion comics that we've seen before.
Yeah,
that
interesting.
Put out, all right, in between, and it covers from like the beginning all the way up until pretty much the end of the manga. Most of the stuff in the anime, it's more faithful to the manga than it is to the anime.
Right.
The anime had a lot of like weird filler stuff that, and some things played out a little bit differently. But it was really good. And then you had, I think, the first one there was like five or six different characters that had their own story modes,
mm-hmm.
and they all took place on these like parallel lines to one another. So, you know, one level would be, you know, where this character was when this battle happened, but another level would be, you know, the same thing, but with a different character, whatever. And then it had this these other modes called dream modes, where it was like, what if?
Hmm.
Right? You know, what if this happened differently? What if whatever? So I've always thought, even back to the classic Valiant stuff, just think of Magnus, dude. Just think about, you know, obviously VEI doesn't have Magnus, but just think about mowing down hundreds of robots. Just smashing through robots. You know, I think about all the stuff in VEI that could apply to. Think about being Exo and, you know, taking on the Vine. Think about being Bloodshot and taking on, you know, a whole bunch of PRS soldiers, and then you got to fight the chainsaw guys at the end of the level.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I'd be down for that.
And then you get into this whole alternate timeline thing with bonus levels and shit like that. You know, what happened if, they sent Bloodshot in to take out Eric at the beginning of Unity? Instead of Harada and Ninjak and all this stuff. But just think about all those characters and all the times that they could be in a video game just mopping the floor with, like, dozens of guys. It would be great. They could do a whole Valiant Universe one, and I don't know. I'd love to see that.
Look, so the Valiant versus – or Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe thing is cool, but I think the real opportunity really would have been the Ninjak game, and it would have been, like, a Splinter Cell-type game. But with Ninjak, and that would have been so badass, dude. Like, hiding inside the crates and all. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like the whole shebang. I think that's where Valiant needs to focus on if they want to attract people that don't read comics, that are in a younger demographic but are willing to spend money because obviously games aren't cheap. I think that's what they need to be hitting at, and I think a Ninjak Splinter Cell type game would be the way to do it. Or one of them, at least. Think about it. It'd be badass.
That's yeah.
It'd be badass.
Sure.
The one I would want is a choose your own text adventure.
Oh my god, you're so
old.
Oh
no, those aren't even. You're gonna talk about like the Telltale games, dude? Because those don't even count as.
Hey,
games.
You know those are popular.
No. Hey, buddy, just to let you know, my wife has no interest in watching me behead people, but give her a game where she's making a choice. Like, she hates anything scary, but Until Dark, which is pretty much a horror film, mm-hmm. but it's still, like, choose your own adventure, which way should we go, which choice should we make? She is down with that, and I can't play 1 minute without her. So I want that awesome. Type of a game, like a Telltale game or like an After Dark game. But I want it funny, and I want Archer and Armstrong. I want Fred Van Lente, Archer and Armstrong.
Oh, God, yes. Give me that.
That's what I want.
All right. Just to clear the air on that, I say that half-joking that those aren't really games. It's
No, if I would have said Day of the Tentacle, absolutely. Those games are dead in the water. I'm not saying that. I'm saying Telltale. And Telltale's coming out with like 6 games every year, so obviously somebody's buying those.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and that's the other thing, too, is that they're using, I think for the most part, they're using established franchises, you know, Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah, Batman.
You can slap Walking Dead on anything. You can slap Walking Dead on a box of wine. Martin and his wife are going to buy it.
No, my wife's done with Walking Dead, bro.
You know what? Actually, all right, well, I should say me too, and we can talk about the the particular season that I was just like, yeah, you know what? But, you know, that the Batman, there was a Batman one, I think, which is pretty
Batman,
cool.
Yeah, that was not bad. They have a Guardians coming out, yeah.
Game of Thrones, Wolf Among Us. Yeah, they have quite a few franchises. I just want a Archer and Armstrong game that relies more on the comedy than the action.
Because
that to me has always been Archer and Armstrong. I like the craziness of the religious sect. I like just delving in and like I would be so down to read like, oh, here's some background text. All right, yeah, let me dive into some of this crazy conspiracy theory stuff.
Yeah, but so what would be the genre though?
It would be like a Telltale game.
So it is
like
a Telltale,
you're making
yeah.
choices. Yeah, you're making choices and you're running into characters and some you have to battle and then some you also have to. You could talk your way out of.
So I'm curious,
guess
though.
Guess
like,
what? An Armstrong might get drunk and want to hang with a lady friend. So maybe there's choices you have to pilot yourself through.
Sure, sure. I'm curious how well those games. I mean, I assume they do. They sell really well, right? Because I mean, critically, the Telltale games do really, really well. Like critics love Telltale games. I just don't know like how well they sell, but I assume they do okay.
No,
I just figured in the Valiant universe, it's very easy to like first-person shooter action game. I just want something a little different.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
I think the thing with the Telltale games, a lot of them are going to owe their success to being involved with previously established franchises. And
yeah,
I
right.
think, you know, very well known. Yeah, I mean they did a Minecraft one, and boy, man, when I realized what that was when I started playing that, I was like, oh crap, because I love me some Minecraft, and I was expecting it to be, you know, a full on Minecraft game, just that, you know, somebody had built a scenario into, and not that you can't get that for free, but you know, and then I'm like, wait a second, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, I would think they would have to do something so radically different that it would have to make waves across the game industry and sell the franchise instead of trying to tack the franchise onto something that's already.
To be honest with you, when the Valiant was doing that card game, I could go for that. Put that on my iPad. Sign me up for that. Just like a Magic the Gathering version, but in the Valiant universe. That would be awesome.
Wait. Stop. Because there is one.
On Steam,
and I hate to say,
I don't even know what that is.
Oh
what?
Come on! Well, you're not part of the master race, so that's the problem.
That's true.
Listen, Jeff, I am not a part of the Master Race either, but I no, you know what, no, because I haven't bought anything on Steam in a while, and I do have, a pretty awesome laptop for the time in which I bought it.
Yep.
And I definitely went on a binge of buying all the old PC shooters that I never had a chance to play as a kid. Doom, yep. Quake, all the Unreal games, all the Far Cry, all that stuff. I didn't touch like a tenth of what I bought on there, so I kind of was like, But yeah, they do have a card game on there, which is player versus player too, I think. It's just a matter of how many people are really going to be on there.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, that I can't remember what it's called. Something Valiant Universe. But it's been in development for years. Mm-hmm. Because I remember them doing, they were doing beta or alpha tests at Collector's Paradise. And that was at least 2 years ago.
Yep.
And they released an early alpha, or it was a beta. It was a beta last year, and it didn't play very different. And the game just came out. It was finally released just now, and I haven't played it, but from what I've seen and heard from other people that have, it doesn't seem like much has changed between the beta and this final release. And I mean, the game is fine. Like, I like the mechanics of it, but it's not like engrossing. So Nick knows one of my favorite things to play. So I've got this PC that I spent a bunch of money on. Half of what I spent on this PC, by the way, is just the graphics card. But even with that, like, I could play some awesome games, like really good looking games. And even through all that, what I spend 95% of my time playing is Hearthstone, which I can probably just play like on my tablet or my phone.
The Blizzard one, right?
Yeah, it's the Blizzard one. But see, so Hearthstone does really well with the game card mechanics. And if they had put a little bit more of that into this Valiant game, I think it would have been awesome. Because it's got like really interesting like RPG elements, but within the card game, it never quite gets there. And like the interface is weird because it's like little square boxes that you're playing your cards on. So like it's not like cool animation. Like the game board doesn't look like you're like in the game. You know, like that's why Hearthstone is cool. Like it's almost like you're playing chess, but like in real life.
The table.
Yeah, you're inside the table, like moving your pieces. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's a missed opportunity. While I'm glad that they did it, I don't know how well it's selling because I don't hear Valiant folks talking about it, like Valiant fans. I think Adam.
I don't know what Steam is, but if that came out for my tablet or my phone, I might sign up for that.
Yeah, and I'm surprised like that wasn't the target for it, to be honest. Because it's not like a complicated game, so there's no reason to put it on a PC.
For sure.
I don't know.
Some of the most complicated board games they've made apps of that are size-wise nothing, but it plays like you're playing a five-person, like sitting around a table playing that board game. Like it is so authentic, and it makes you feel like you are playing against somebody, not just the computer. It's really impressive. So there's no way the technology isn't there for them to do that.
Yeah, right. Right.
I can't even find this on Steam right now.
Like learn from Hearthstone. Like that's popular for a reason. Learn from Overwatch. That's popular for a reason. Like steals from that type of crap.
There it is. Yeah, Battles of the Valiant Universe. That's what it's called.
Oh, okay. All right, I see it. What a very non-Valiant looking logo amongst all these other logos that they have. Yeah, they only got like 10 reviews on this, and it's still an early access game too, which means that they don't have they're basically selling it as like not a finished product. It's got everybody's giving it thumbs up, but I think these are probably all friggin' Valiant fans.
Well, no, wait, it's half and half. It's got mixed reviews.
Oh,
so
yeah. Here come the thumbs down.
Five good and five bad.
How many are from that game company?
Well, who knows? And I mean, all of the reviews are from early access people.
Yeah, true.
You know. And I mean, I had early access. I didn't review it because I didn't feel like it was good enough to review. Like, regardless of what people think, okay, I don't like to just talk shit about stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm going to talk shit about something, it's because I feel like I have a legit valid point. If it's shitty, like, it doesn't warrant my review. And in early access, it was shitty.
Well, on the flip side, Martin, you also don't stroke something just because you feel like you have to stroke something either.
I mean, sometimes I just got to stroke it, you know?
I know. I hear you.
You know how I know I'm getting tired? I didn't just jump right on that one. Well, they call me softcore for a reason.
Back to duck, good duck, go for you.
I was, I just got one more thing and then we can wrap it up. I know Jeff's just ready to go to bed. He had too much whiskey.
I got to ask Jeff a question before we wrap this thing up.
I haven't drank it so long, dude. Jesus.
So I was looking over oh wait, you have your question. Go ahead.
I don't know your location, Jeff, in the great old US of A. But you said you never went to a comic book convention. How is that?
Well, all right. Well, I've never been to a game convention. I've never really been to any proper convention.
You've never been to a gaming convention either?
No, nothing. No anime conventions. And those are all things that happen. The only way that I would really want to go to a comic book specific convention would be if Valiant was there, and they don't do them up in this area. I mean, I started reading. It's the video games that got me into the comics. The Shadow Man game got me into the old school Valiant back in the early 2000s, and then here I am still reading this stuff because it's awesome. But I just never, it's just never happened. I've only been reading comics for, you know, 15, 16 years or so.
You've been listening to the Valiant Central Podcast, episode 130, with Martin, Jeff, and Nick. Who's Paul? Nobody knows, but you can find him on Twitter at Who's Paul, at MacGeekVine. The show is at Valiant_Central. But Nick is the famous, infamous, really, at Nick Wetmore. You can email us hello@nerdlegion.com, but really, what I want you to do is go to facebook.com/groups/Valiant Central. Thanks for listening, and, you know, Paul might be back next week. He might be fired. Who knows? Actually, I don't know if I'll be back next week. I might actually be off the next couple of episodes because I've got a lot going on at work. But somebody will fill in with Paul. Catch you next week. Bye. Co-faithy? Co-faithy. We have a new sponsor for this week, Nick.
Ooh, do tell. I didn't read our registry, so let me know.
This episode is sponsored by
the Magic Deck. You know what? When things ain't working right, is rough, things is hard, you got to get that Magic Deck.
Magic Deck.
When you get that Magic Deck, it'll change your life. So kids, get that magic dough and make it happen.
Magic dough, god damn.
That's right.